So the word of the Lord was growing mightily and prevailing, and so I'm going to put an in spite, and I want to give 4 points. So the first point is in spite of the incompleteness of knowledge, spiritual knowledge. So for this, you go all the way back there to the end of chapter 18 and verse 24, and that last part there. The focus here is on Apollos, right there. Now, Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth. Now, by the way, this is helpful because it's review, but it's review in a little bit different way, and it'll help. And we'll go to Ephesians. We'll go to the book of Ephesians here momentarily and support this. Now, Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus. And he was mighty in the scriptures. And this man had been instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. So all of those platitudes toward Apollos. And then we have that last, it's like being acquainted only with the baptism of John. So you can look at it a couple ways. Evidently, Apollos had a lot to offer. He had been taught concerning Jesus, but he was only acquainted with the baptism of John. And that makes sense. John spoke of Jesus. John spoke of the one who would come after. Verse 26, and he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue. So he's got some speaking skills, and he wants to speak. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. So there's something missing. His understanding, his spiritual understanding of God and Jesus, and I think specifically what Jesus would do when he came, and then what he would offer when he ascended, he was incomplete. He didn't have the full spiritual knowledge. And Priscilla and Aquila heard him, and they took him aside, and they explained to him the way of God more accurately. Most think that there's some understanding that Jesus would give the Spirit, but he did not know the Spirit had been given. Something to that effect. We're going to see a replay of this here in a moment. And when he wanted to go across to Achaia, the brethren encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. And when he had arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. For he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, demonstrating by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. So the word, but look at verse 20. So the word of the Lord was growing mightily and prevailing. I think you see that with Apollos. That's the effect of the word. He had an incomplete understanding. And because of Priscilla and Aquila, he comes to a full knowledge of the scripture. And then he's able to go and help others with that full understanding. And that's where our understanding, our spiritual understanding comes from. It comes from the word of God. And I don't think it's coincidental. I don't believe in coincidences, by the way. Over in Ephesians, Paul, a couple times, listen to this verse, a couple verses, verse 17 of chapter 1. This is a prayer. He says, I pray this, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the what? In the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. He's praying for these Christians in Ephesus to have a full understanding, a thoroughgoing understanding of the gospel of Jesus, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. He's just praying that they will have a full understanding of the gospel, of Jesus, of the power of God at work in our lives. It's just wonderful, and you can go on. I think over in he talks about comprehension there. He talks about knowledge. He says, verse 14 of chapter 3, for this reason, the reason I'm trying to go fast is because I keep looking back there at the clock. Sorry, I got to quit looking at the clock and take a deep breath, relax. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, here it is, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. So he continues to pray for spiritual understanding, for the fullness of knowledge. And we think that perhaps those that were acquainted with John the Baptist and his ministry and had only really experienced the baptism of John didn't know what the cross meant and weren't aware that the Spirit had come at Pentecost. They're just out there. They're living in John. And that was incomplete. So it is interesting. And it goes right on down into chapter 19. You have these 12 that Paul met when he came to Ephesus. Well, I mean, you've got all these people here with incomplete knowledge, incomplete spiritual understanding. Ain't no way God's going to work there. Come on. They're late to the party, right? They're late. Too bad. God going to be able to do anything in Ephesus? Yeah, he is, because God can do anything. And his word grows mightily when it's administered, and it prevails. The word of God prevails. I want you to apply that in your own life. If you just take in the word of God on a regular basis, on a consistent basis, it will grow mightily and prevail. Just as it did in Ephesus, just as it did in the life of Apollos and these 12 disciples and these others, it will prevail in your very own life. 100% guaranteed. It won't fail. It won't fail. That's the word of God. Secondly, I'm not going to go through that other part with the 12, but they were just acquainted with the ministry of John. Secondly, the word of God was growing mightily and prevailing in spite of complete rejection by some. Well, there's some tough hearts there. I don't think that's going to work. I don't see a way that the word of God's going to. Well, I say, even when the word of God, or even when Jesus is rejected, the word of God's prevailing because it was brought to the minds of the people. Look at this in verse 8 and verse 9. And he entered the synagogue and he continued to speak out boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some were, and here it is, they were becoming hardened. The word there is they were hardening themselves. It's middle voice, so it's something it was self-imposed, a self-imposed hardening. They just would not believe. And there's another word there, disobedient. It has to do with unbelief. And then the last one there, speaking evil of the way. They were reviling the Christians that were there. And before the people, and Bible says Paul withdrew from them and took away the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. So the word of God, according to verse 20, the word of the Lord was growing mightily and prevailing in spite of the fact that that Jesus, the word of God, had been rejected on the part of some. Even when there's rejection, there are those who will receive. Listen, that's part of it. That's part of it. Everybody is not going to receive. But we're responsible to plant seeds. We're just planting seeds. That's what we're doing. And so some things, some wonderful things are taking place there. Number three, the word of the Lord was growing mightily and prevailing in spite of an attempt to hijack the power of God. Now, we're talking about this situation here with this Jewish chief priest. Right there in verse 13, but also some of the Jewish exorcists who went from place to place, attempted to name over those who had the evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches, seven sons of one Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. And the evil spirit answered and said to them, I recognize Jesus, I know about Paul, but who are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them and leaped on those seven sons and subdued all of them and overpowered them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded, and this became known to all. I mean, the story spread all through town. Both Jews and Greeks who lived in Ephesus in fear, reverential awe of God, fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was being magnified. So in spite of some trying to hijack or misuse the name of Jesus and the power of Jesus, the word of God, what? Right there it is. It was growing mightily and prevailing. I tell you what, God's word can overcome any obstacle. It just don't matter, because God's God. And sometimes we get real human and we're, well, ain't no way it'll happen. Well, is anything too difficult for the Lord? I mean, is anything too difficult for the Lord? He can save that neighbor. He can save that person you've been talking to him for years and you've been praying for him. He can save them. Can God take that? God can do anything. And then number four, and this is the last one, and we're over, but that's all right. Of course, the pastor would say that. In spite of the saturation in the church of magic and money. Now, I want you to look at this. It's interesting. Right there it is. Verse 18 and 19. So these are people that have been saved. We know that because of that first sentence. Many also of those who had believed kept coming. What were they doing? They're believers. They're Christians. They were confessing and disclosing their practices. And many of those who practiced magic brought their books together and began burning them in the sight of everyone. And they counted up the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Now, there's debate over whether it's a denarii or a denarius or a drachma. If you go with denarius, this is like one person's living wage for 137 years. It's a lot of money. And that's without a day off. A lot of money right there. But these are Christians. Those Christians. Listen, I still go back to that VBS song. He's still working on me. Now, we ain't practicing the magic arts, but he's still working on us. It's the power of the Word of God. The Word of God is relentless. The power of God is relentless. And he works in spite of what you and I would consider to be some pretty serious sin. And what was God doing? He was bringing them to repentance. Even as believers, they want to grow with God. They want to be Christ-like. So God's working on them, and the Spirit of God was moving, and they kept coming. That's what it says right there. They kept on coming. There must have been a lot of them. And they just kept coming, and there was a prevailing darkness in Ephesus concerning magic and money. And it was in the church, I think, just for a short time. Because, listen, once you confess Jesus, And the Holy Spirit gets involved. You know, there's some things you just can't go on doing. You just can't. You just can't. I mean, would God deliver? When God saved you, what did he deliver you from? There's some things you just can't go on doing. I experienced that in my life. Can't go on doing that. Glory to God. And on that note, we got to go. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you're so good to us. Thank you for encouraging our hearts tonight. And Lord, those prayer requests, we carry those with us when we go. We continue to pray. And we want to hear good news. We want to hear good reports. And we want to hear about how those that have been, those that are struggling, those that are hurting, are persevering. And how they are becoming more and more reliant on you. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.